Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, thanks for coming out. I think we have a couple more people than we had last week, which is very exciting. It's still raining in the Southland, so it's terrific that people came out. That was the theme song by Hard and Firm, and we're coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles in front of a live audience. They do a lot of great shows here at UCB, so go to ucbtheater.com, because if you've got time to listen to podcasts, you've got time to do that. Here's the part where I'd say a joke about a movie, and sometimes people laugh. I haven't seen Black Snake Moan, starring Samuel Jackson and Christina Ricci as a whore chained to a radiator. But that's the title of her character on IMDb. No, but I'm really hoping that from now on, Sam Jackson only makes movies with the word snake in the title. Because he's two in a row now. And I think it'd be awesome if he just kept doing that. I'm not doing that movie unless you get the word snake in there somehow. And they have to change every title to get the word snake in. See what I said? It's kind of a joke, but not really. It's my attempt at a monologue. That's why I'm not on TV. Speaking of black snakes, my guest today on I Love Movies is not black or a snake. He's a very funny comic whose episode of Comedy Central Presents is one of my absolute favorites in that series. And he's also hugely popular and famous in the land of we call Canada. Please welcome, everybody, Mr. Sean Cullen to the program. Let's hear it for him. Hi. You brought a book. That's good. So you can
I did, in case it gets boring, I could just settle in.
Very nice. Book.
Yeah, I already know how this one ends because I wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Boring.
So you just read your own book that
you wrote? Yeah, that's it. I thought I really want to read, but there are no books that interest me except ones that I've written. So I wrote one so that I have something to read.
That's fantastic. I wrote a book with two other guys, so I only have to read a third of it.
Perfect.
That's more when I feel clever. Like reading.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you have to read that whole thing. That's arduous.
But there are some pictures in it. Is there pictures
Nice. Yeah, there's pictures of like joints and leaves. Which is funny. This doesn't have anything to do with movies, but when I did a show called The Marijuana Logs, and we ran off Broadway for a year.
Wonderful show.
Oh, thanks. And when we were in Toronto rehearsing with the director, because that's where he's from, a fellow named Jim Milan. Mm-hmm. And we went to Toronto, we were rehearsing, and at the time you were playing Max Bialystock in The Producers in Toronto.
Right.
And Tony Kameen, one of the other comedians, the two of us got very excited. The third one, Arch Barker, doesn't care for the theater.
No.
But Tony and I got
The theater doesn't care for him.
Why are they singing? Yeah, it doesn't like him either. So we said, let's, you know, Tony and I, but you know, I made the proper calls and managed to get tickets to the show. You know, use your connection, knowing you, and we got there, and that board in the lobby said, tonight playing Max Bialystock, Schmiggy McGingy, like some guy that's not Sean Cullen.
I'm sorry about that.
And we were like, fuck this, and they would not give us a refund. And well, even when I mailed them the tickets, they never sent me the money.
Well, they're assholes. I don't condone that kind of behavior, but Schmiggy McGingy was
as understudies go, he's a pretty good one.
I actually didn't do the show again. People saw him.
Oh, you were out?
I was out. Schmiggy, keep him. Schmiggy has got incredible range of character and his beautiful voice. Schmiggy. People are mesmerized by his work, Schmiggy McGingy. It's amazing that an African man could play Max Bialystock so convincingly, but that's the kind of
actor. Well, if Tony Danza can do it,
well,
then certainly.
If fucking David Hasselhoff could do it,
oh,
anyone
yeah,
can
in
do
Vegas.
It.
Well, he's playing the guy in the dress. He's playing Roger DeVries.
Oh, see, I thought, oh my God.
Did you really think he was
I
Max Bialystock?
Because nothing makes sense anymore. You know, nothing. I thought he was playing the lead.
David Hasselhoff, as either of the leads, would be really, really retarded. I mean, it's still bad that he's in it at all. But that's funny.
That's fine. I feel
you're like they're soiling the grand tradition of Nathan Lane.
Well, I was just thinking they wouldn't call me before David Hasselhoff. At least I'm short, you know, and squat.
It's all about putting butts in the seats in Vegas.
I know.
People in Vegas love
butts.
The worst people.
They really love butts. And they love seats. They love both those together.
I'm sorry I chewed into so much of our movie talking time with that.
All right.
But I haven't seen you since that happened.
I'm
and
sorry.
That's the sort of thing you say to the person when you see them, and then they can't do anything. You know, you're like, I'm sorry. I got sick. I didn't do that one performance, that window that you had to see me shine in this wonderful role in this fabulous show.
I really wanted to do that show that night, but I was raped by a frat boy. It's horrible.
So we had to settle for like a few months later when we were in New York. We had to see Nathan Lane do it.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. And Matthew Broderick's all like, "You, my blue blankie." So Sean, what have you been to the motion pictures at all lately? Do they have motion pictures in Canada?
Well,
first of all,
we don't usually have them. We don't have walls large enough to project films on. Not continuous walls. There are a lot of holes in them, and it ruins the kind of continuity of the picture where, you know, you'll see, say, Willem Dafoe, for example, his head missing.
That shithead.
Floating around, threatening people as a vampire. No one wants to see a headless vampire threaten people because you don't know it's really Willem Dafoe.
I don't think you've heard a podcast before, but Willem Dafoe as a shithead came out of the fact that that sentence doesn't make any sense because he's a perfectly good actor.
He's
and
a beautiful
by
man.
All accounts, a nice man.
A stringy.
Yeah, he's very
stringy man.
But shithead does not apply.
A sinuous man is what he is.
It started as Barbara Stanwyck as a shithead, which no one has ever said.
True.
And then it became Willem Dafoe as a shithead, so that's my signature line.
Well, Willem Dafoe is extremely stringy. I mean, he is. His tendons are so tight you can pluck them and they ring. People on the set of Boondock Saints, Billy Connolly kept plucking his tendons and breaking up the whole crew with his thrumming tendons.
Billy Connolly, is there an off switch on that fucker? Playing somebody's tendons? Give it a rest, Billy.
Get off the stage, Billy. It's a set, okay? Get off the stage.
We don't care what it is. We want you off of it. So what motion pictures have you seen? You're here in the States where we do have movies. So have you seen anything lately?
Well, what happens is a troupe of itinerant players puts on the movie. They go and see it. We pool our resources, send them down to a place that has movies, like America.
Mm-hmm.
They will record it in their memories and come back and
right,
act it out
for us. Right,
because
you can't bootleg it. You can't steal it.
No,
they have
can't.
To just memorize it.
Yes, it's true. Have I seen, I saw Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that for the one reason that they finally shot him in the eye. And
right.
Because always, when I was a kid watching Superman on the television, the black and white one, they would shoot him in the chest constantly, you know. And
yeah.
then, but
Try
they finally
part.
Said, hey, why don't you shoot him in the teeth? or something, because that would hurt even if it didn't break your teeth.
Yeah, it would sting a little. You'd be like, ah, no, why'd you?
Yeah, it would be a thrumming through your skull.
He would ring like Willem Dafoe.
He'd be like, ow!
Being plucked.
Where is this?
And then all the earth shatters. But I like that because of incredible bald acting by Spacey.
That was pretty much.
That was amazing.
That was the whole performance.
He was completely
my head
bald.
Is shaved. Now I don't have to do anything else.
He was totally bald in that. I don't know. That was amazing to me. What other? I went to see Snakes on a Plane because I just couldn't believe it was going to happen, and it did.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great how they made a contest out of sending away kids could be killed by snakes on a plane because they couldn't think of anything. That's how bankrupt of imagination they were in that film. Like, please tell us ways snakes can kill people, and we'll incorporate it into our film because we're idiots.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they probably got 1,000 responses. Have it bite a girl's titty.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Okay, it's in. What else should we do?
Again?
I don't know. A guy's all dick? Right. Yeah, okay. We'll do that too. What else?
Very
well, I'm tapped.
Yeah.
Those are the only two snake killings I wanted to see.
Oh, movies.
Movies.
I just haven't been to see a lot of films. I saw The Queen on the plane, not herself, but the movie. And I was hoping there was going to be some kind of fight in it. Or
some action of some sort?
Nothing. It was very quiet, very subdued.
Do you think like one of her corgis would turn on her
suddenly
or something?
Bite her on the titty, perhaps.
Wow. That would be a lock for Best Picture of a corgi bit Queen Elizabeth. Is that her name? On the titty.
Yes, that is her name.
Yeah, they're all Elizabeth, right?
That's right.
It's easy for them to remember that way.
That's right.
Some, you know, Queen Judy comes in there. Everyone's, what the fuck? Ooh. Who is this?
And I have twice on the plane coming down, I've watched The Prestige, only without sound. And it looks stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's one of those films.
Most magic looks pretty dumb with no sound. It's just a lot of gesturing.
Well, it is.
And something happens, you're not exactly sure what the trick was.
Did anyone see The Prestige?
Yeah.
That was very dumb.
It was my favorite of the two old-timey illusion movies that were out last year.
Why does that happen?
I don't know.
Why do probably people want to see
Edward
old
Norton's
bearded
doing one already. Let's keep going ahead. Let's forge ahead. Edward Norton isn't any good. That couldn't possibly do any business.
No, and I think it was the best movie I ever saw that had a person chiseling their own finger off. That was good.
Because yeah, that part was
neat. He chopped his finger off.
So you really watched quite a bit of it without listening.
Yeah, I was angry that it was the same film twice because I was like, oh,
I didn't watch this the first time.
I disdained to watch it the first time, and now you're showing it to me again. So I either have to give up on my disdain and watch or continue to disdain it, which is boring, really, for 2 hours.
They could have called it The Disdain, as far as I'm concerned, because that's one of those titles where it's like, going into it, you're like, oh, when they explain what The Prestige means, it's really going to, and Michael Caine explains it, and he really gives it a lot of gravity, and you're like, that doesn't, seems like a weird thing to call the end of the trick.
For me, it's like all those movies where you decide.
It's called the ta-da.
Ta-da. The abra.
The what the hell just happened?
But there are these movies that are like that, like Cocktail, where you take a really dumb profession and you go, look at the amazing purveyors of this incredible skill. And you're like, this is stupid. This is stupid. Yeah. Don't show us too much of this, because we'll suddenly realize 3/4 of the way through the film, this is fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're doing these amazing tricks with flipping the bottles in the air, and then someone said, well, but that's not going to keep people's attention. What can we throw into the mix? Poetry. That's what's really going to make... If he gets up on the bar and says a poem, then we know they will be able to explain why people are so into him as a bartender.
That's what I want to see on a cruise ship, someone reading me poetry and making a martini.
Now, I know you're a fan of the James Bond films.
Yes.
Did you see Casino Royale with cheese?
I did. I did see the Royale with cheese. I thought he was such a strange body, don't you think, Daniel Craig? Once he got it all muscled up, it was really pointy at the shoulders and
he can hurt people with those sharp edges.
Well, and tiny in here and then wide and weird and I don't know. And it scared me a bit. I thought the first part where they were chasing each other, jumping on buildings and sliding along splintery plywood and stuff like that, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But then the central point of the film was there's a guy who's helping terrorists and we want to get him, so we're going to potentially give him $100 million to play poker with him so that we can maybe catch him. I thought, why don't you just catch him and not play poker with him?
Yeah.
Why are you
like when his eye starts bleeding, just grab him
just
when he goes to dab
right
it.
Right there. Instead of just like, hey, we're going to play a game of poker with you. Punch, punch, punch in the van.
Yeah.
And they don't actually play the game. They just beat him up and take him somewhere and continue to beat him up until he tells them things.
Yeah.
Or cut him with cards. Slice him.
Anything.
Poke him in
anything
the eye.
Would have been. That whole poker section was a waste of time. We've discussed that in previous episodes of this
really?
Podcast.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm covering old territory.
No, but I'm just warning you so that we don't do it, but you're right.
Okay.
You are
made
correct.
Me feel a lot better.
You're correcting your feelings.
But my favorite James Bond film is Honor Majesty's Secret Service, which is probably the weirdest.
Yeah, I put it in my top five probably because of the weirdness and also because it kicks some ass.
Yeah,
like it was violent.
The first scene, he's chasing some guys and then beats the living shit out of them on the beach and then beats them with an anchor. Very few people get up to that kind of beating.
Yeah, lifting an anchor is enough work as it is.
Bang, bang, ow. That's not something I want to have happen, especially at the beach.
Yeah,
and he was a creepy.
That is no day at the beach.
No, and Telly Savalas.
Beaten with an anchor at the beach.
Telly Savalas is in it.
Well, perhaps the best Blofeld.
I think so. The baldest, certainly.
He came to it prepared. That's where Kevin Spacey did all of his research.
Yeah,
because he watched On Her Majesty's Secret Service and went, "That's how I'm going to play the bald character I'm about to play."
We need him hairless, and you've done it.
And
the most beautiful woman, Diana Rigg, and she is so beautiful in that. And
he falls in love and he marries her and then she dies. Spoiler alert.
Hello. But I think the funniest, weirdest little part of that is they come around at the end and they're riding on their honeymoon and then the Blofeld drives by with Rosa Klebb, the creepy little woman, the little Russian squat fireplug woman. And Blofeld's got a neck brace on.
Yeah, yeah.
And because he's been in an accident. And then shoots his wife. But I think, you know, that takes a lot to get out of bed when you've got a sore neck and go and murder someone's wife.
Go and that's shoot her right between the eyes.
That's right.
And then certainly probably the saddest ending of a James Bond movie. It's usually very encouraging because Bond is alive and the villain is dead.
He's usually floating in a space capsule nailing someone.
Yeah.
But in this one, he's just holding her. She's just sleeping. I'm going back to New Zealand. And he's from New Zealand.
George Lazenby. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Nah,
the references get too specific sometimes.
That's all right.
But sometimes they love it.
Sometimes.
You never know with these crowds.
This vast, seething, teeming crowd.
What do you? Anything you're looking forward to in this that's coming up? Do you have your finger on the pulse of movies that are coming out, or do you just find out about them when they're on the plane?
I really just wait till they're on the plane so I can ignore them. there's going to be Spider-Man 3, which is going to be exciting because he is like a spider in so many ways, and they really show that in those movies.
Yeah, they don't hold back on the spider similarities.
There's an incredible amount of spider work in that. And his spider work is amazing. The thing, I don't know. I was the Batman Begins. I love Batman, but I think he's the weirdest of the superheroes just because he's not really super in any way.
Right.
He hasn't got powers. He just has a lot of money and to indulge his bat fetish. And that's it. He puts on bat pants and bat hat and bat gloves and the whole thing. And that's, he just wanders around. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have any powers at all except his love of bats.
Well, that's when Batman Begins. They tried to explain it. Like, they tried to show him getting trained as a fighter, you know, in prison or wherever the hell he was.
Yeah.
And so then that way when he's fighting those people, you go, oh, now I believe it. Because when Michael Keaton did it, was like, how does he get so strong?
I never liked Michael Keaton at all.
Are those strong-making gloves?
Yeah.
That cost millions of dollars?
Well, when I look at Michael Keaton, I say, what a physically powerful man he is. I wouldn't want to wrestle that man. He is so powerful. And his
he might
eyebrow,
hold me up in the air with one hand.
The way he can lift you just with the eyebrow alone, his powerful eyebrow, which he can articulate, which I think is how he got the job, because even through that rubber mask, you'd still see it rise.
What about, there's a movie coming out called Wild Hogs.
That looks like pure shit.
Pure Wild Hog shit?
It's like, I don't know how these movies get made, except someone goes, we all like riding motorbikes, why don't we do a movie about it? Yeah. And that's it. And someone write, no one write a script.
Let's put out the feelers and see what four disparate, strange actors come crawling in to be in this movie. And the most amazing thing to me about it is Tim Allen is top billed. Over John Travolta and Martin Lawrence. I mean, William H. Macy, that I understand. But because he's more of a character guy. But Martin Lawrence and John Travolta showing up every day, like, really? Santa Claus 3, that guy? He's
certainly
bigger build than we
way
are.
Way bigger. Way bigger. He's a very talented man. And extremely
because
funny.
If anything breaks on the set, he just fixes it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reason he keeps working it. He's a fix-it
it
man.
He's personable. That's why he's at the number one. Because mm-hmm. people really relate to him in a way they don't relate to John Travolta. Mm-mm. Because they're intimidated by him because he's from another planet and he's using us as meat. They don't like that. They don't even like to think that he might be doing that.
Yeah. People think John Travolta has an intensity as an actor, but he's just looking at the other actors thinking about feeding on them.
He's had this huge tumor in his brain that was growing and growing and make him a genius. Do you remember that movie? Phenomenon?
Oh, yes. Phenomenon. I thought you were speaking of Luke Who's Talking.
No, true. Luke Who's Talking has a tumor shaped like a child that would speak. It was a horrifying film. But that was a weird movie.
Phenomenon.
Where he became a genius with
yeah.
a giant tumor in his head.
That gets scary when there's like an actor who just like starts making movies that are clearly, well, he just wants us to think he's the most amazing person alive. But
yeah.
we understand that it's just that it's fiction.
Yeah.
And that you're not a phenomenon.
You're not really
you're
doing
Danny
that.
Zuko. That's all you are.
That's it.
you walk down the street with a paint can quite nicely. But that's pretty much it. Well, it's downhill from there,
he's
Johnny.
He's been in some movies that I've watched all the way through and wondered at, like Broken Arrow. Have you seen that with Christian
yeah.
Slater? And there's the thing about John Woo movies is there's him and there's Christian Slater, and they're military men. I understand they might learn to kung fu fight at some point, although they're pilots. There's not a lot of hand-to-hand combat in supersonic jets. But just stick your foot out and kick the other pilot in the face. That doesn't happen, but they do train. I get that. But then there's a park ranger who's this woman in shorts and hiking boots. Who
Samantha Mathis, the great Samantha Mathis.
Yeah, who just starts kicking people like she's a kung fu fighter. I don't get it. It makes no sense at all. And then he's in that
She practices on animals.
Face off.
She kicks a lot of woodland creatures.
Ow! Raccoon killed. But then there's Face Off. Which makes no sense at all. If I took your face and put it on my body, mm-hmm. people would just go, what the fuck happened yeah. to your body? Your face is yeah. sort of the same, but your body is shorter and wider. What happened?
Saw it in Silence of the Lambs. Been there, done that.
I don't get it. I just don't. And the one where he's an angel, Michael, that was awful too.
Yeah, yeah.
He just does anything. Really, doesn't he?
Well,
to play for paper
well,
jet
the,
fuel.
That's the great thing, though, is you're naming like the hits. You know, like it's been severely worse than those
no.
of late.
Well,
you know, you had that thing about the lottery and you know, like
oh yeah,
lucky numbers or something.
That. Well,
yeah.
These are ones that have been almost good enough for me to actually see for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, well, they're cable classics. All
yeah,
those
they
ones
really
you're talking
are.
About.
I can watch them on TV, but yeah, in the movie theater, it's like you got to be kidding me.
No,
what the hell is going on here?
When does Harry? Is there another Harry Potter movie coming out? Very soon.
Yes, it's coming out this summer.
And it's the
called
sixth one?
Harry Goblet and the Fiery Loins of Catastrophe.
That's right, where Catastrophe, the giant ogre, forces himself into Harry's goblet. It's horrifying, and they go through a portkey into another world where nothing happens, really. And there are some poison and a guy with a skeleton face. Mm-hmm.
Well, this time they got the director of Notting Hill to do it.
Oh, that's
so
going to be
you
so
know
charming.
It's gonna be kick-ass.
That is going to be so charming.
I don't think he did it, but it's somebody that did movies like that.
Mm.
It's not like they're getting further and further away from people who direct those kind of movies, which so far has worked because like those Chris Columbus ones were
you know.
Oh my God!
Horrible.
Well, when you go back and look at the first one, it's like, when was this made?
Yeah.
1972 by like Roman Polanski in Czechoslovakia. What happened here? It's like
shot
dark
entirely
and you
in
can't see it, and it's really weird. It looks like what a crazy film. I don't know, like they say. Oh, we've still got the crew from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Just bring them over here and shoot this.
We've got all the costumes.
It's perfect.
Just ditch the car and we're good.
Can we get Gert Frobe? Can we get him?
Goldfinger.
Gert Frobe.
I say Gert Frobe just because it's fun to say.
It is fun, but that was Ian Fleming book, and they took the whole cast basically from Goldfinger, just did a movie for kids that terrifies all children everywhere.
It's really scary.
That's the kind of asshole Ian Fleming was, I think.
Now, classic motion pictures. I like to always ask the guests about usually earlier in the show, but we've really gone off.
I'm sorry.
I know it's okay. I'm just talking. But what's like your favorite? I know it's hard to say.
Well,
favorite,
if I have like ones that I always will watch anytime it comes.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, I like those. That's
and,
a good category.
You know, it's at Christmas time. It's always I love to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, I know it's cornball,
right.
But I absolutely love that movie. And the Alistair Sim Christmas Carol, you know, the old one where he's just cool. He's at the end. He's like completely
he's pretty
insane.
Dithery. Yeah, yeah.
Scaring people. He's so happy. That one I love. Oh, yes, I'm still alive. I didn't miss it. And you're just like, what are you fucking saying, you crazy man? But he's all of those Ealing comedies, like the Lavender Hill Mob and all of those that he's in. And Peter Sellers and the Lady Killers, the original Lady Killers, not the
brilliant
one.
Yeah, Alec Guinness.
Yeah, oh my God. And the man.
Oh, the new Lady Killers. What was that? Well, if we're going to remake Lady Killers, we got to get Marlon Wayans on the phone. That's step one.
No one understands the Ealing comedies like Marlon Wayans. Yeah. Now, one of my favorite movies to watch it all the time if it's on is Blade Runner. But I love that movie. It is absolutely beautiful and perfect. But when they first came out, they had that voiceover, and then they get the director's cut, which I hate.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's longer, and there are more unicorns running around. But I liked
it. More outtakes from Legend.
Yeah, I just don't. It bothers me because it had that kind of Sam Spade voiceover that was really kind of, and the cities are always raining, and you know, whatever. And I love that. And that I just love Harrison Ford. It's like distilled down his thing of being able to be totally shitting his pants with fear. You know, nobody can do it like him. Like, he's. Perfect at being just like every man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Boulder. Oh, Death Star.
Yeah.
It's always the same
always
thing.
The same.
He's always looking Boulder. At something that's going to kill him, and it's not really there.
Coming
at the time.
Around a corner. That kind of stuff. You know, and that kind of, you know, when the guy's spinning the sword and spinning it and spinning it, then bang.
When it's over, when he's saved, right back to smirking.
Yeah.
You know, but the fear is genuine, but then as soon as it's gone.
I'll even watch Air Force One. For that kind of little frisson. But then...
Who's your president now? What does he say? Some sort of catchphrase when he finally kills the guy that's not Willem Dafoe.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, yes.
Awesome. Very convincing.
That's what I refer
terrorist.
To every actor as, the guy who's not Willem Dafoe.
That's right.
Narrows it down really quickly. Okay, so let me ask you about a couple of the movies that you've appeared in, because you've done that as well.
I have
a lot of stuff. You've done a lot of stuff in Canada that didn't quite make it down here.
Make it here.
But
we did the Maple Syrup Murders. You didn't see that movie?
I didn't see that. It's probably still on its way. It's just really good maple syrup. It's just very thick and slow moving.
Mountie Frat Rapists. We did that as well.
Well, that was your remake of the Apple Dumpling Gang, right?
That's right. It's just great. A group of Mountie frat boys. Rape. Hilarious.
You were the telethon announcer in Where the Truth Lies.
That's right. I introduced... It's really bizarre. I've had two roles like that.
I got the other one right here.
Yeah, okay.
And you were Jackie Gleason and Martin and Lewis.
Yes, and Martin and Lewis, the CBS biopic of Martin and Lewis. I played Jackie Gleason. I have two lines... I stretch it into two, but it's really one. I just go, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for them. Huh? Huh? And that's it. And I have had more fan mail from men in prison for that movie. People send me a blank postcard and say, please sign me. I saw you were brilliant as Jackie Gleason in Cell Block 7. Send me a picture, Willie. You know, I've had like seven people from prison write me that. Maybe they just show it in prison.
You're not as good, though, as the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond.
No.
That guy, Brad Garrett.
He's uncanny.
The world's tallest Jackie Gleason.
It's uncanny. Get Jackie Gleason, 5'2", 5'3".
It's like the shittiest wax museum would make Jackie Gleason Brad Garrett size.
Well, we used the same amount of wax, but we hung it longer.
Yeah. So, but in Where the Truth Lies, what you're a telethon announcer. You announce.
I even forget their names.
They're supposed to be like Martin and Lewis.
Yeah,
though.
That's right. And I just say, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for them. Once again, I get a lot of those. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Nya Nya. And then they come on, and that's the end of me.
But did you saw the movie? Of course. No,
I watched a bit of it.
I don't want you to shit where you eat or where you act or whatever, but...
It wasn't the greatest.
It really, really was a swing and a miss.
I know.
Like, Kevin Bacon and Colin Firth...
If I'm looking for
Never remotely resemble comedy, you know, when they're playing legendary comedians.
No, neither. Here's what I do. If I'm going to do a show about to great comedy duo, I'll hire no comedians.
Get them off the set.
No one... We need actors to really understand what comedy's all about, especially yeah. A double act. Really easy thing. No problem. Go ahead. Hey, Colin Firth, Mr. Laughs, and Kevin Bacon.
Mrs. Laughs.
That's right. Mr. and Mrs. Laughs.
Mr. and Mrs. Laughs together.
Kevin Bacon at one point turned to me during the thing and said, we were shooting and I'm standing there. You're a comic, huh? And I said, yeah. I said, what can we do to make this funnier? And I honestly stood there saying nothing until for about a minute. And then he kind of wandered away because I couldn't think of anything to
I
say
thought of
that
an answer.
Be funnier.
Yeah. I got an answer, but I have distance. It's not Kevin Bacon asking me.
Oh, really?
But I'd say just dance like you did in Footloose. Because okay. That would be really weird for a Jerry Lewis type character from the 50s to suddenly dance, you know. Do some breaking.
You know, it would be really funny if a giant
locking.
Kind of slug came out of the ground
exactly.
And tried to bite you at this point.
How mad would he have been at you if he would have come up with an answer like that? You should have a giant slug. Just mention one of his movies. You should, I think it was before this one, but you should be a child molester.
Yeah. How about you should turn over your little Triumph 1952 Spitfire and lie with ketchup all over your face on the road?
Diner. Come on, you guys.
Okay, come on. Number one.
That was awesome. That was a good diner reference.
Thank you. Now, there's only one.
You saw one other episode that we were taping last week of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the post-Oscar episode.
That's right.
Post-Oscar.
That's right. I'm still not over the Oscars and all the stuff that
the
happened
people
there
who lost
that I can't
won.
Wait to hear about.
I'm so sick of those people winning and the other people losing.
Yeah, let's mix it up.
Come on.
A little bit. Let's have all losing.
Yeah, let's have everyone lose.
All winning.
Sorry, and the winner is, sorry, we couldn't pick one. Next category. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Then they'd be like, well, can't we all share it? Nope.
Nope. Nope. These are expensive.
So we play the Leonard Maltin game.
Yes.
And you got to see it in action. Would you like to play it?
Sure. Do you want to?
Should I ask you or you ask me?
Why don't you ask me? And
all right.
See if
should I pick something... Like,
that I know already?
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Okay.
I mean, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, all the way back to Corky and the Juice Pigs.
Did you like me and the producers? Oh,
I miss that, but but I love your stand-up and your singing and your improvisation, and
thanks.
I have no idea what movies you may have seen, especially considering the Prestige, you skipped it twice.
But I still don't know
who was in it. That's kind of shocking to me. Yeah. You watched it enough to go...
Yes,
to
please
know.
Stop Hugh Jackman from putting on false beards.
Okay, yeah. Let me try one on you.
That's just the thing about when you have a movie where people are twins and all they do is like, oh, you're blonde and you're the dark-haired twin. What twins are two different colored hair? When does that happen?
They're just twins that are trying to distance themselves
I guess
from
so.
Each other. To a like, I know a pair of twins. One of them wears glasses and the other one doesn't.
But can you they know. Both see? Or is one just
I have
really
never
vain?
Asked them. Yeah, one's more vain than the other. One's willing to tough it out and not see anything. James Duvall. I don't know who that is. Scott Wolfe. Oh, I'm sorry, 1999. I almost always forget to say the year, and then the audience reminds me. 1999, Scott Wolf was in it.
Shit.
It's not Party of Five, the movie. Which I saw the shit out of for the nude scenes.
It's Go, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. That is fucking awesome. I guess Scott Wolf really hasn't been in too many movies.
That was really good, though. Timothy Oliphant, Jay Moore, Breckin Meyer. See, I like it because it's such a weird cast. Jane Krakowski.
It's William Fichtner.
It's a good movie. Desmond Askew, Katie Holmes. And then I just picked it because I figured it's Sarah Pauley. You'd be like, my fellow Canadian.
She has the strangest little teeth.
She does. She should have been one of the zombies in that Dawn of the Dead movie, not being chased by them.
Yeah, she's got good. She's got choppers.
She could eat.
She's got brain-eating teeth.
She's good at eating people.
So do you want me to do one for you?
You can do one for me, but you nailed that one so good. That was impressive.
Do I have to pick the same movie?
Yes.
Okay.
keep it easy for me.
Let's see.
We try to do it within the past two decades.
Past two decades.
87. Or anything in the 80s or 90s is good.
I just don't want to pick something that's absolutely stupid.
It's tricky. The picking is a lot of the. It's a big part of the game.
A lot of the fun.
Do you have anything you need to plug while we're looking up a movie?
Well, I have this book that I've written.
Oh yeah, let me talk about it.
And it's called Hamish X and the Cheese Pirates, and it's a novel for young adults. And,
yeah, because the chapter font when it says Chapter 3, it's all crazy and squiggly, like Chapter 3.
It's crazy.
Look at it. Prologue. Look, the letters aren't all lined up next to each other.
It's
a fun font. You have a fun font in here.
Yeah.
On the afternoon that Hamish X arrived at the Wind City Orphanage. Oh, it's already got so many words in it.
I know.
And Cheese Factory. Wind City Orphanage and Cheese Factory. See that guy that's laughing right there is the one with the best sense of humor. And you got a funny name, Vigo Schmatz. Sat in his office, a glass cube suspended above the factory floor, trying not to think about two things. And I'm not going to read on. I'm going to make you wonder what the two things he's trying to not think about.
Yeah.
But it seems like I would imagine some adults have enjoyed it.
Well, it's really
Harry Potter style.
My favorite writer is probably Roald Dahl, and for kids. And I wanted to write something that parents can enjoy as well as their kids.
That
adults can like too. And there's footnotes and weird kind of jokes in it.
There's no like singing Oompa Loompas, though, are there?
No, there's not. Filthy snow monkeys. I don't know.
Is there any other kind?
No, there's any dirty. And cheese pirates and lots of fun things.
I love a good cheese pirate.
Everybody loves it. So, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Shit? You all ready for this? Bump, bump, bump. Okay, this is 1991. We're going way back.
That's pretty far back, but I feel confident.
Okay. Grace Zabriskie.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Is it Twin Peaks the movie?
Sorry, no.
She's in that.
Lois Smith.
Is it? No, I'm not even going to guess, but go on.
Gary Bassaraba.
Oh, Bassaraba.
Sweet Gary. Bassaraba.
That guy should become a rabbi. Rabbi Bassaraba. Okay.
Blame it on the Bassaraba.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, Tim Scott.
Don't know him.
Sweet Tim Scott. Gaylord Sartain.
Oh, that's that fat guy that used to be on the Hudson Brothers and Sonny and Cher. It's true. Keep going.
Stan Shaw.
Black man.
Yes.
Nothing further.
That is not. That is the name of the film.
He was in a boxing movie.
Okay.
With Dennis Quaid.
Really? What movie was that?
I can't remember.
Great
what it was
White
called.
Hope or some terrible shit. Chris O'Donnell.
Oh.
Robin, to yes. those of you who love gay trivia.
Okay, keep going.
Cicely Tyson.
God, this is another weird one.
I didn't
think those two liked each other.
Okay.
I thought they refused to work together.
They will never work together.
Matt Damon was like, I saw Sounder. Fuck that bitch.
Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, I like her a lot.
She's sweet.
Oh, I know what it is. Fried green tomatoes?
That is correct.
Yay!
Superb.
Let's hear it for Sean Cullen,
thank
everybody.
You,
get, if you have kids or act like one, get Hamish.
Hamish X.
Hamish X and the Cheese Pirates by Sean Cullen. It's in, you can get it on like Amazon and
yeah,
all that.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. And until next time, this is Doug Benson saying Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.